Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LFC Survivor podcast draft thing. We're great at naming things. I'm great at naming things. This should just be called the Terran draft. I think that fits with the naming structure that I've set up. We are the LFC. We are the live feed correspondents. We podcast about Big Brother all the time. But today we're here to talk to you about Survivor. I am your host, Terran Armstrong, and I'm joined by my great colleagues, Brent Walgamont. How are you doing, Brent?
The winner of the last draft, Brent Walgamont, to you, Mr. Terran.
Also joined by Melissa Denny. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. This is my first time podcasting about Survivor, so this is very new to me, but I'm very excited.
Maybe Survivor's the thing you need to win a draft. Who knows?
Oh, maybe. Although I hope that it's not just I win Survivor drafts, because I'd prefer to win like all the Big Brother drafts that we've been doing, but whatever.
I mean, for those who are not initiated with the illustrious history of live feed correspondence, I have won every single draft except for the last one, which I gracefully allowed Brent to win so people wouldn't get too mad at me. I'll probably be back to win this one, just so everyone knows. We're going to be drafting these final 15 players. Final 15 players. That's how it works in Survivor. We're going to have five each, and it's a must-win draft. One of your players must win the game of Survivor in order for you to win the draft. That's how it works. We don't mess around with points. They'll leave that to the stock watch and all of that nonsense. Really, this is just an excuse to podcast about Survivor for us. It's a fun show. I think we all love it. We unfortunately couldn't do a draft at the start of the season. One of the reasons was because I was actually spoiled on that first episode because I was working on the First One Out series with Josh Wigler. I no longer have any idea what's going to happen in the season. So I am fully on board with everybody else, same level. So we're going to be able to do this. It's not going to be nice and fair. Nobody has to worry about anything, but Brent, as the previous winner of the draft, you will get to decide the draft order. So go ahead.
And I just want to say that I deserve a lot of credit for winning the last draft because that was such a flyer to take on taking Josh as my first pick, I might add.
We were all very surprised.
I just want a little bit of, you know, ta-ta-ta-ta.
This is very much a, like, broken clock is correct twice. you keep doing terror. Like, he chose Jose, who was the first one out of the previous season. He picks the worst Pirates. Players. Yes. And sometimes, every once in a while, a bad player will just
look into a win.
I don't know. We had Josh on the podcast, and he was telling us how he planned the whole damn season, Terran.
Definitely. All right.
And I also wanted to say really quickly, I actually think this is going to be really fun because I've never done a draft in the middle of a show before. So we have an idea of what these people are like. And also, this is also really good because, to my knowledge, nothing has been spoiled about season 35. I'm not going to tempt fate, but I'm just saying that, you know, I'm someone who's not necessarily averse to spoilers. I mean, I'll look at them sometimes if people will send them to me or if I get something or if I look on Reddit or something, but there's nothing out there for season 35. So this cast has done a great job of keeping a lid on things. And I literally have no flipping clue what's going to happen except for a couple people who I'm sure are not going to win. And I'll leave those people to care. So the draft order will be as follows, as I'm sure everyone might be able to guess. Melissa is going to be the first person to pick. I shall be the second person to pick. And Terran will be the last person to pick, which means he's also going to be stuck with the 15th pick, which means that he might have a urologist in his future. So there you go.
Oh.
Melissa, you are going to be selecting first, as you also did with the previous draft that you did for us when you picked my initial first pick, Jessica. I was going to pick Jessica. You stole her from me. And then because of that, I picked Josh and I won. So please do that for me again. That would be great.
I think you would have had Josh regardless of when.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is so tough. I feel like I get first, but it's just I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. We actually did a draft for the So You Think You Can podcast crew. We did a draft for Survivor. And at the time, I hadn't read or watched anything really except for like the CBS videos, like the intro videos, because I didn't have time to get caught up, and I was like on my way of getting caught up, but I wasn't there yet. And I got first pick, and I was like, I don't know who to pick. And I had to like preface it with like, guys, please don't make fun of me with my pick. I don't really know these people. So if I pick someone bad, like just don't make fun of me. And then I picked, and everyone was like, you took my person. And so, you know, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this question before you give us your pick. How do you feel about this season of Survivor so far? Honestly, are you liking it? Are you sort of bored or somewhere in the middle?
I really like the cast a lot. Love everyone in the cast. I feel like everybody's like either exciting or I feel like they have something to offer. And I feel like the dynamic between people is going to be really fun to watch. But I feel like these past few episodes, I just feel like nothing has really happened. And I mean, I get it. It's only like the beginning when they still need to like build up to something, and we need to get to know the people, and then eventually all the drama is going to happen. But I don't know. I just feel like it's been a kind of a slow start, I think. I don't know. How do you guys feel about it?
Taryn, how about you? Have you been liking the season of Survivor? You were doing the first one out series, so I know you were spoiled on the first boot, which actually was a surprise to me that it was Katrina. And I have to say, I was really surprised with this last boot. I thought for sure that Lauren was going to go home, and I was blown away when it was Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying the season. I think I really like the cast. I mean, I obviously had a lot of a time to get to know them. It's actually pretty strange watching the show and hearing their voices, because I feel like they're friends of mine. I've listened to their voices so often in my head. So it's great to know the characters so well. But I think the problem for me, and I think this might be the case with some other people too, is that I've also been watching Australian Survivor, and it's been an amazing season with the best characters ever.
Really?
I need to watch it.
And yeah. And it's just like you get so much of it, and there's so many awesome characters. And then like you're coming to American Survivor, where it's like it's so short, and like you don't know these people as well. Even though I spent so much time with them, I still don't feel I know them as well as I do these Australian Survivors. So it's a little bit of like, this is a fine season, I think, but it just like in comparison to Australian Survivor, it's kind of it's lost its luster.
That's really interesting. I have heard such good things about Australian Survivor, so I think I'm going to have to watch it, because I mean, frankly, you're a tough critic. So for you to say that it's pretty amazing, that actually intrigues me. So I think I'm going to check that out.
It's seriously like. There are so many different characters on that season that I just think are amazing, and they all play so hard, and they're also incredibly like entertaining. I don't think I've ever watched a season of Survivor where I was rooting for so many people.
Wow. And
yeah, it's crazy. I've really enjoyed it. So definitely.
And now welcome to Survivor Heroes versus Hustlers. Yes. Versus somebody. I forget. I still can't even say the name of this season right.
Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah.
I really loved your first one out series, by the way. I just want to say, like, honestly, it was so good. And it really got me into like the season. I just feel like I was kind of like, okay, I just finished Big Brother. I'm kind of not in the mood to just like jump right into Survivor. I still was like hot in the heels of Big Brother. So I was sitting there like looking at all the Big Brother after stuff and the interviews. And I just really wasn't ready to switch yet. And then I listened to the first episode of First One Out, and I had no idea what it was. I honestly was like, what is the point of having a whole podcast series about the first person who leaves? Like, I don't get it. I just didn't understand it. And then I started listening to it, and I was like, okay, this is awesome. This is like Serial for Survivor, and I loved Serial, and now I love this. So it was honestly, it was great, and it was so entertaining, and I'm very sad that it's over, and I kind of wish that it kept going throughout the season, but I know that's like not possible.
Matt from Big Brother 19 was also a big fan of the podcast, because he it was really fun. And honestly, I think you could still probably go back and listen to it. There's still like so much of it informs what you're seeing right now. Like so many people talked about Patrick as being this guy that smiles a lot, and it looks very disingenuous. And it just like And people talked about Simone and people talked about Katrina, and like, I think it really informs the bonds people have made. And it helps you really get to know the characters that maybe you're not getting, to know quite as well in the episodes. Although I will say I've been enjoying the lack of reward challenges, to like really get to know the people along the way. I think that's a really good part of the season.
Yes. I think that was a conscious decision on their part because they know that the first episode was usually an hour and a half or 2 hours. And this time we only had an hour. So I do enjoy the fact that there have been no reward challenges. And it's honestly just getting to know the dynamics of the cast and the tribes. Although, of course, that's all going to be blown up now that we're going into episode 4 and a swap. So,
yeah,
it's a really fun time to pick as well a draft because I have no idea who's going to end up in a power position or not. So you're basically just picking on the sheer social dynamics of the person involved and the will that they have to win the game.
Yeah, I think like right before a swap is basically like you're looking at these people and you're thinking, well, this is them performing in 9 days of Survivor. Now and everything's going to be flip flopped and there's going to be a fresh start. So based on what you've seen of their capability, how are they going to do moving forward? So
I'm nervous.
Yes. Oh my gosh, don't be nervous. It's just a draft. There's only like a little applause for the winner. So you know. I mean,
yeah, but then I get to brag about it like you two.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's just me, though. So enough foreplay. We're 10 minutes into this podcast, and we haven't selected anything. Melissa, right. I implore you, with your first selection in the Survivor LFC draft for Survivor 35, who are you picking?
Okay, I'm deciding between two people, but I think I'm going to choose the person I didn't choose in my other draft. So I'm going to pick Allie.
Oh, okay. I like that pick. I like that pick. She's very fun.
So why did you pick Allie? Why is she first?
I've been really impressed with her in the first couple episodes. I liked her in the preseason, but I was kind of like, she's like a celebrity assistant. I don't know how that's going to like carry over. I feel like she might be in that world. You know, I just felt like she was going to be in like the Hollywood, like Instagram world. And I just was like, she's not going to fit in. Like she won't be able to like mix and mingle with all these people of various like walks of life. And she has everybody on her team turns to her and everyone wants to talk with her before a decision gets made. But nobody thinks that's weird. Like nobody has mentioned yet, or at least on the edit, nobody's mentioned like Allie, why are we all looking to Allie? Like, why are we turning to her? And I feel like she kind of fits in, she flies under the radar, but at the same time is able to influence decisions and, you know, influence people. So I don't know. I just have been really impressed with her. And so I think that no matter what team she gets thrown onto, I have a feeling that she's going to be able to have a good social game with the people there.
Yeah, I think Allie has been very impressive, like watching her on the Hustler Tribe. I think that she's been shown in a good light. The thing for me is, because a lot of people have been praising Allie and saying that like she's making good decisions, she's clearly in a good spot socially. I agree with all those things. However, we saw her lose Simone and Patrick, two people that were probably really loyal to her. She knew Patrick outside of the game, and Simone, she was basically the only person that gave Simone the time of day. Was it a mistake for her to take those two out instead of maybe Ryan and Devin, who seem to be a power block there, who could potentially take over her spot in any sort of situation?
I think that both Patrick and Simone were liabilities to her. And I think that they would have brought her down in the future because I just don't feel like they can bond with people and get along with people like Allie can. And having those like anchors on her, like, you know, moving forward in the game, I just feel like that would be bad for her. So I think that while it's like, well, I don't understand, those people would have like been loyal to her, it's like, does she want that? So I feel like while Devin and Ryan are a pair, I think that they are loyal to her as well, like in a sense. And I think that moving forward, they'll be loyal to her if once there's like a merge or something. But they also, she also won't be associated with them as like a huge target because she won't be considered like a pair or like whatever. So yeah, I think that she's in a good spot even with those guys gone.
Yeah, I'm really worried about her going into this season because I thought she was going to be very vapid. You know, I thought that I agree with you, Melissa. I really thought she was going to be from that sort of Hollywood-esque world of gophers and assistants and, you know, just trying to be a fame whore, with all due respect to Allie. But she has been a revelation in some ways to me because I feel like she has a very good feel for the game. She's not too pushy. She seems like she's willing to cut bait if she needs to, as she did with Patrick. I was actually really pleased to see that. Listening to Patrick's exit interviews, because, you know, the only thing that was evident to us coming into the season was that she had said that she knew Patrick. Patrick did not say anything about having known Allie, but it's evident in his exit interviews that he was completely aware the entire time that he knew who she was, that they lived down the street from each other. They were basically acquaintances of each other, not good friends. And then when he got to the beach, he thinks it was his own fault that he didn't do as good of a job of building a relationship with her on the island as he probably needed to do. But it says something to me that there was that sort of a security blanket potentially for her there, and she was willing to get rid of it. I sort of like the chutzpah that she has. I've done that before, by the way. Hit your microphone. Yeah, I know, right? I like the chutzpah that she has to be able to make a move like that and get rid of someone who is, for all intents and purposes, somebody that she knows in the real world, Taryn.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, regarding her decision about Ryan and Devin, I do think that in a game where there's three tribes and there's swaps to be had still, and there's a lot of stuff that's left to like happen, I think that it is probably the better decision to leave Ryan and Devin in the game because they are a pair. And I think they're also a very threatening pair. Ryan just seems very devious just looking at him. And then Devin is a big physical threat. If Allie was the big threat in between Simone and Patrick and Lauren, I think if she gets swapped, or if she gets to a place where she has no numbers, then she is the first one to go. But if she gets swapped with Ryan or Devin or both or something like that, I think Ryan and Devin both go ahead of Allie. And I think that's a good position for her to be in a swap, because once Ryan or Devin or both go, then it's like, well, poor Allie, she's all by herself. Pick her up to use her as a number. I think that's probably the better play at this point in this kind of game. But if this was like a two tribe, no swap setup, I think that that's an entirely different game. And maybe at that point, she wants to consolidate power. So interesting, I think, maneuvering here from Allie. But Brent, you are up next on the draft. Who are you going to pick?
I'm going to pick the person that I think Taryn is going to pick. So I can pick nobody other than Miss Chrissy, the actuary, Miss Data herself. I actually think there's a lot to be mined here from a character point of view. I think the show is setting it up well. I don't think they would go to the trouble of showing us that her and Ben are a power duo. And yet, since they showed that to us, they have not yet been to tribal council. So I do think that she is long for the game. And if somebody like Chrissy, who is 46 years old and a mom, is long for the game, that means she's going to get to the merge. And if she gets to the merge, she ain't getting voted off, Taryn. So I really, really, really feel good about Chrissy. I know she's a sexy pick. I know a lot of people, saw her episode in the second episode. They saw her character building there, and they saw the editing that was going on with Chrissy, and they think that she's maybe a chalk pick to win the game. And I agree with them. I mean, usually I'm the person who's like, I don't want to pick the obvious person. You know, I'm the person who picks Jose and Josh to win the game. But I just can't not pick Chrissy. I think that she looks at the game in a way that I like. She talks about it in a way that I relate to. And she seems somebody who I can see them giving the money to at the end. And that's not true with all of the people that I'm currently looking at.
That was my pick for my other draft. So that was my first pick for my other draft.
Oh,
so
that's a good one.
That's why I didn't pick her. But yeah, I was like, should I just double down and like go for her again? But I was like, you know what? I want to try someone else. So
I understand you. Taryn, were you going to pick Chrissy if I didn't pick her?
I mean, I think Allie and Chrissy are the top two picks. They're kind of like the people that I feel like I would feel like obligated to pick, even though I don't necessarily think they're going to win. But I do think that they're both very strong picks. I mean, Chrissy is probably my favorite person on the cast right now. I really liked that whole segment from the second episode. I like the position she's in. I think you're completely right, Brent. I think that she's going to be long for this game, and I think that she's going to come close to winning it. If not actually winning it, but I don't know. I feel like she might be the kind of person that gets close, but then gets cut, like a Ciri kind of figure here. Because like, how does she get to the end unless people are underestimating her or she actually can't win the jury vote? We know that historically the older female has had trouble with jury votes before, especially somebody like her, who I think might be a little cutthroat. She may have trouble with the jury there, but I love her character. I would like to see her do well. And I probably would have picked her if she was left there, just because I would feel obligated. I guess I have the next pick here.
Yes. Tell us your loser pick, Taryn. Now that Chrissy and Allie are off the board, who are you going to pick? I think you should go with the Brent Wagamot way of picking and pick the person that if they actually win the game, you're going to be really happy about it. So who are you going to pick?
Well, if I did that, I'd probably have to go with like Joe or Ryan. I'm not sure I see either of them winning, to be honest. Okay. I just think they're going to be big characters. I'm probably just going to go with the typical Taryn strategy. And I feel like...
Let me guess. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. You heard it. I heard it already. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel like Ashley, I think that she is physical, but she's not overly physical, that she's going to be super threatening come the merge. I think she's going to be valuable in any kind of swap. I think that she is social enough that that people they're fine with her, that she's not going to be an outcast by any means. I actually like that she is conscious of the fact that she doesn't want to be seen super close with JP. Ashley is somebody who I could very easily see her slipping toward the end. It's just that kind of season. I think I feel like the Melissa bot in the chat, the Michelle Fitzgerald strategy. This is how I win drafts. I'm sorry, I make boring
things. Everyone in the chat is like Ashley.
Well, I will say that I almost picked Ashley. Like I had Ashley pulled up and ready to pick her until I switched to Chrissy because I was like, oh, this is definitely the better pick. But I do feel something with Ashley. I do agree with what you said. I like it very much that she's willing to just, because there have been so many showmances in the history of Survivor where women and men are not willing to forsake their nether regions for the sake of the game. They want their showmance. They want to have their cake and they eat it too. And they're not willing to give up something to get the big prize. She is. So I really like that about her. On the other hand, I didn't love this last episode because it did seem like she was really pushy as far as keeping JP. And we heard some negative talk about her insofar as what Ben had to say, as far as, you know, how hard she's pushing to keep JP when they weren't even going to tribal council yet. And he already seemed annoyed by it. So that does give me pause, but probably not pause enough to not pick her, because I would have picked her here as well. So, yeah. Melissa.
I would not have picked her, but she's like number 10 on my list. I have a little list here, but I mean, like the problem is she could go either way. Like I could absolutely see her, you know, flying under the radar and getting down to the end and then like, you know, picking it up. Or I could see people not really liking her so much, 'cause I know that in all the pre-interviews or whatever, like in the First One Out podcast, when they asked like, what are your first impressions of people? Nobody had a good first impression of her. They all thought that she was like either mean or like didn't like them, or there was something off about her. And if she's giving off that vibe to people, I don't know if she's going to bond so well with everyone. So that kind of made me a little nervous to pick her. So, you know, I could see her going either way, but yeah, she wasn't going to be my pick, but you know, you always pick the most random people and then they go to the end. So
it is the thing that happens is people just like, they totally crap on my draft picks every single time.
And although to be fair, last time your draft was terrible.
Was
like so bad. You were like the first one out. And the only reason you stayed in is because everyone's like, oh, we'll give you Paul.
But here's the thing. Last time, people were like the highest on my draft than they had ever been in the past. It's people have to hate the draft in order for it to be good and win.
Right.
So if people are hating the draft right now,
I hate it. Well, I don't hate it. So far,
well, I hate it.
I like it less than mine.
All right. So I believe I have the next pick as well. This is actually a tough one for me. But I think I'm going to go with Ben, just because I also really like what Ben is doing with Chrissy. I think that Ben is more likely to be picked off than Chrissy is, but I really like Ben. I liked him in the preseason. I like what he's doing on this cast. I like that he was able to pair up with Chrissy. He's been very adaptable. He's been very social. I think he's good enough in challenges that he's not going to be, again, somebody who's not super imposing in terms of like his being threatening when he comes to the merge. Nobody's going to be like, we have to get Ben out. But in a swap, he's also somebody that people are going to be like, well, we might need him for challenges. So I think he's probably okay there. I'm a little bit afraid that it's the story of we were in charge. We were in the driver's seat before the swap, and now I'm screwed. And then it's Chrissy goes on to like, you know, get to the end, and it's, oh, poor Ben. He could have been along for the ride. But I like Ben. I like where he's going. I liked him preseason. So I've got to pick Ben here.
Melissa, what do you have to say about that pick?
I don't really have strong feelings on Ben. I feel like, I don't really know him yet. Even though I've listened to all the preseason stuff and I've watched all the episodes, I still feel like I don't quite know him. So, I mean, he seems to be a good pick because he seems like strategic and he seems good at the challenges and, you know, he's making friends with the right people, I think. But it's possible that people might see him as a strong guy and people don't really like strong guys as you get down to the end. So, you know, there's that possibility, but he seems like, you know, a good pick. So,
yeah, the thing about this pick that I do like, Taryn, is that I feel like that I agree with you that there is a stronger possibility that I think he gets picked off and somebody like Chrissy goes on to the end. However, if that doesn't happen, his win equity to me is much higher than everybody else's. He's a guy who has served in the armed forces. He seems like a down-home character. I don't see anybody disliking him at the end, even if he does stab them in the back. And I do worry about that with the older woman archetype of the mom, you know, who I trusted you. You're supposed to be the mom and then you betrayed me. So I do worry about that for somebody like Chrissy, but I never worry about that for somebody like Ben. I mean, he could probably stab everybody in the back and they would still give him the money if he got to the end. The key is going to be getting there. So I like the pick and I probably would have picked Ben. So good job, Taryn. You stole one from me, just like I stole one from you. I have the next pick in the draft and now it gets a little tougher because a few of these people I like, but I don't think they're going to win the game. And some of these people, I have no idea who the hell they are. And yet I feel like I might need to pick them. Mm-hmm. So I'm struggling because I feel like I should stick with the patented Brent Wagamot strategy of picking the people that I like. And I think, you know what, I'm going to do that. And so who cares? I don't care. I want to be happy with who, you know, again, my whole theory, and I love Chrissy, by the way, is that if they win, I need to be happy that they won. I never want somebody to win and then be like, oh my God, like I'm rooting against myself because I really don't want that person to win. So I can pick nobody other than Ryan. How can you not pick Ryan at this point?
I knew that was the one you were going to pick.
Yeah. I mean, he's like us. He's like somebody who loves the show and grew up on Probst and all the fixins and all the fun stuff that happens on Survivor. And it's his dream. And I think he was at the match game, right, Taryn, with Rob? I know Rob took a picture of him. I don't know if it was at the match game or if it was somewhere around there, but I know it was very close in time to that. So he knows who Rob is. He cares about him. Likes rap. I mean, I agree with you that there's a good possibility he's just a big character and ultimately flames out. But I do think that somebody like this, if they are able to get to the end, they're very likely to win the money. And I have complete faith in his ability to give a final two, final three speech that is something that the jury would just eat up and very Todd-like. So I just think that he's somebody who's going to be around for a while. Again, this goes back to my perception of the editing. I don't really think that they would show us how important this bond between him and Devin was unless it's going to bear fruit later on in the game. So I do think that Ryan's going to make the merge. I know Rob floated the idea on the podcast with Steven that in a swap, somebody like Ryan, who everybody is thinking is a possible winner pick, could be in possible danger during a swap. And I do somewhat share that feeling as well. But in my heart of hearts, I don't believe he's going to go out. I do think he's going to make the merge. And if he makes the merge, I don't think he's getting voted off anytime soon. Ryan is my pick with the fifth pick in the draft. Melissa, what do you have to say?
Well, before we move on, I have to quickly point out, it's funny that I mentioned the Melissa bot earlier, because Brent in the past has been known to reply to the Melissa bot thinking that she is actually Melissa. He just referred to a picture that Rob posted.
Oh my God, yes.
Ryan, I'm pretty sure that was not actually Ryan, but in fact a Ryan lookalike.
Well, I just glanced at it. Is it not really him?
Brent thinks that everyone is who they're not.
Well, Rob said he met him.
Poor Brent.
Pretty sure that was the joke.
Oh my God! Well, I totally didn't even look at the pic. I did sort of look at the pic, but I was looking at Rob, so I didn't even look at the person. I do remember the guy in the pic, but again, they are on Survivor. And then he's in real life. So I'm thinking, and I do remember looking at the picture going, is that him? But no, I'm like, I guess it is.
I always feel so bad when the Melissa bot writes to you and then you respond and you're all nice. And then you go, just kidding. You're not Melissa. I take it back.
Well, Rob, you got me with that one because I really didn't think that. But it doesn't matter. I mean, I know he knows who Rap is anyway, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact.
I take back my pick.
Yeah. Well, there are still people, like when we podcasted with Josh, the winner of Big Brother 19, preseason, Rob had joked saying that Josh had actually been contacting him for advice and he had been training him in the ways of Big Brother leading up to the season. And there were people asking the question for Josh on the winner interview. Is it true that you studied under Rob Cesternino before you went on Big Brother?
Oh my God.
On that podcast that people would still think it's a real thing. We said right after Rob made the joke that, oh my God, people are going to think this is a real thing later on in the future. And then they did.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Do you know how, listen, just hear me out on this for a second, because I'm going to defend myself for a second. Do you know how during Survivor, the Amazon finale, how you remembered what Matthew von Ertfelde looked like, and then all of a sudden you saw him up there looking all handsome with Jenna, and you're like, is that even the same guy? Like, I thought this is what it would happen with Ryan. I thought that, like, he's on the show.
He's been on for three days.
This is him on the show, and now this is him in real life, and I just thought it was the same person. I mean, I really bought it. So there you go. Okay.
I guess
anyway,
so.
I'm still picking him with the fifth pick.
All right, Melissa, what were your thoughts on Ryan?
I'm just looking at the picture right now, and that doesn't look anything like him.
But
they do look very different.
Okay, I would say Rob's humor sometimes goes over my head. Like, that's all I can say.
No, I do agree that, like, after Survivor, when they're all up there and they're doing their little, like, reunion thing, I don't recognize, like, the majority of the people up there. And the only way I know that's them is, like, when Jeff, like, pointedly asks them a question. And I'm like, oh, what? That's that person? Because they look so different. But anyway, I think that's an interesting pick. I think it's a Brent pick for sure.
Thank you.
I think that Ryan is very entertaining, although I feel like they're pushing so hard for him to be, like, the narrator of the season, and it's just like it gets a little much sometimes, but I feel like he kind of tries to insert himself into too much of the strategy and tries to, like, be the decision maker, and I feel like that's going to hurt him down the line, or at least that could be his downfall down the line.
I love it that you've been with us long enough where you can say that's definitely a Brent pick.
Well, it is for sure. I mean, we've got all the characters are your picks. Mm-hmm. It worked out for you this last time, so who knows? But yeah, so yeah, I think that that's I think that it could go either I say this every time, but I feel like it could go either way. He could either just, like, you know, work his way to the end and make a great speech, or he'll, you know, crash and burn. So
I can tell from your attitude, though, that you think it's more the latter. You think he's going to crash and burn.
I do feel like it's more of a crash and burn scenario just because they're pushing so hard for him in the beginning. And that they're like, he's such a big storyline that
let me ask this question. Do you agree with Rob? Do you think that he's in danger in this upcoming swap?
I don't necessarily know that he's in danger this upcoming swap, but I guess it depends, like, what tribe he gets on. I feel like if he gets on a tribe where people are like, oh, what's the one distinguishing characteristic? Oh, he's kind of like a strange guy. He's kind of a weirdo. Like, let's just pick pick him because he's the only guy like that. He's like very different from us. And then they, you know, kind of go after him for that. That's a possibility, but he's not very threatening. So I don't know necessarily that people are going to immediately target him.
Okay. Taryn, what do you have to say about Ryan other than criticizing the fact that I didn't know who the hell he was?
Well, I like that Melissa's like the physical embodiment of the Survivor subreddit here. They're pushing Ryan so hard. They were saying that Survivor was going to be pushing Ryan too hard before the game had even started, which I guess kudos to them for calling it. But they are very much done with the Cochrane-esque narrator, nerdy guy archetype.
Well, to be fair to me, I have not been reading the Survivor subreddit, so it's not that I'm just parroting them.
I haven't been reading the Survivor subreddit too, and I love Ryan, and I am really done with this archetype. I mean, like, if he wins the game, God love him. I'm gonna pray for him and hallelujah. But please don't cast this person again. I mean, it gets a little old, and I feel like I've seen this story before.
Yeah, and I think the problem is not in Ryan or his archetype, but in the way that he's edited. I think that like we get very similar archetypes all the time, and we're just like, we're very used to it. We don't get annoyed by them. But because ever since basically Cochrane, they've just pushed every single time this archetype has been there, usually because they make it pretty far and they make for good narrators, which you can't blame them too much. But like, it's
lazy.
It feels very similar. And like when I see Ryan on my screen, I like Ryan a lot, but I almost feel like he's not just Ryan. He is that guy. He is that guy. And I feel like I know his story already.
Yes.
And that's not fair to Ryan. And I think it's a fault of the editors, to be honest. I think that he's funny. I like what he's doing. I like his strategy. I'm rooting for him. I think he's going to make it far. I don't think he'll get taken out in a swap. I think he's going to be a big character for most of the season. I don't think he's going to win, but I do think he's going to be somebody who makes it a long way in this game. I feel like there's nothing wrong with Ryan himself. I feel like there's just a better way to edit this. And I think it's evidenced in the fact that on the Hustlers tribe, like, Devin was clearly involved in all of that strategic discussion. Devin wanted Patrick to go. Devin had a lot of input. And instead of Devin and Allie, who was considering voting out the person that she knew in real life, and I understand that they can't explain that because they decided not to include it in the show, but Ryan is the one that's talking through the decision making. This is a really hard decision for me, and I know it's not his fault. All three of them are having that confessional, but Ryan is the one that we're seeing time and time again, and it's because they think that we can only take it from Ryan. That if for whatever reason they're like, well, we can't have that come from Devin. That doesn't fit with Devin's character. This fits with Ryan's character, and that's just kind of like it gets stale. So I would have much preferred seeing that from Devin, even over Allie, because I think we've heard enough from Allie. We haven't heard anything from Devin, and he's been such a force on that tribe so far.
I just looking at the episode, I think he was the one who made the call here. I mean, I would like to know, but it does seem to me like I think he's the one who made the call and ultimately wanted to get rid of Patrick. I think it's interesting that you're criticizing the editing on Survivor, considering we know a few people who have edited Survivor in the past. I'm just saying. But I don't know if those people are currently editing this season. So let's
well, here's the thing. When I say editing, I don't mean the actual editors. I am an editor myself. I've never edited.
Oh my God. Here we go with the backtrack.
I understand. I understand that it's not the editors. It's the producers who are like shaping the story, right? It's the writers and the producers who are telling the editors what to do. The editors are more
the writers.
The editors are more involved with like the actual timing of things, which I think is perfectly fine. And all of that. I mean, granted, I don't know anything. I've never worked for Survivor. But I believe it's not the editor's call to shape the story itself. Okay. So I think most people understand like editors is a nebulous term for just like the storytelling on Survivor as a whole. And I think that editors play a part in that, but they're part of a bigger collective there. Melissa, you have
Melissa, you have not just one pick, but two picks coming up. So you have the sixth and the seventh pick in our Survivor LFC draft. Who is your first selection?
My first selection is Devin.
All right.
I like Devin a lot. I liked his preseason stuff a lot. I was very surprised to see that he actually likes and watches survivor and is very into the strategy and knows a lot about it and isn't just, you know, the dumb surfer. And he wants to make sure that, you know, he's portrayed that way, so that way people are not thinking of him as a big threat. And I think that he's a good, he's, you know, good at the challenges. And I also like the fact that he has this relationship with Ryan, and he's not about like, oh, I'm going to only hang with the cool kids. Just like have fun and like lay out. Like, it's good that he like actually is thinking about the game and is like, I don't know. I just feel like I like him, and I feel like he gets along with people, and I think that he's going to go pretty far. Cause I think he has a good mind for the game. At least I'm hoping that's what it is, but yeah. So that's my pick.
I like Devin a lot. I really like that he is there are two big physical guys on the Hustler Tribe in Devin and Patrick. And Patrick became this like outcast, like target. And Devin, nobody ever said a word about Devin as far as we know. He was clearly a driving strategic force in the tribe while also being completely like, who would ever think about targeting Devin? I think that he might be somebody that's in trouble come a swap. I think that while he is an asset in challenges, he can also maybe appear threatening. But I think that he's so laid back and so unassuming, at least from what I saw in the preseason and what we've seen so far on the show, that I don't necessarily think he'll be in too much trouble unless he gets outed as being as strategic as he is. One thing that came out of First One Out is that the producers talked about how when they revealed the tribes and gave them the colors, Devin was like, oh man, we're the red tribe, like the cursed red tribe. The villains were the red tribe. What are you doing here? Which I think, well, a very interesting character note, is a little revealing in terms of his knowledge of the game. So as long as he's able to underplay that, I think Devin is the kind of like, he is one of the biggest threats to win the game. My concern is like, why aren't we seeing more of him? I want to see more of Devin. I want to see more of his confessionals. I want to see more of what he's thinking and what he's up to. But instead, all we're getting is Ryan. And that's concerning both as a character note and also as a like, is Devin really in contention here if we're not seeing anything from him? Hopefully he becomes more prominent as the episodes go on. Brent, what do you think?
Two words for you, Michelle Fitzgerald. Okay. if you think somebody like Devin, who we haven't seen, can't win Survivor, you need look no further than Michelle, who is a very lovely person. I've seen her after Survivor. She's done interviews with Rob and been just effervescent and lovely. Having said that, she shouldn't have won that game, but whatever.
I think the difference is that I and a few others called that Michelle was going to win by episode two, even though she was very under the radar.
I need to go back into my Taryn Wiki timeline for that.
I was on Dom and Colin.
Okay. All right. By the way, good stuff on Dom and Colin, by the way, with the Big Brother All-Stars rewatch that they're currently doing. I just watched their the podcast with Ian Terry, I listened to their podcast with Ian Terry from this past week, where they were recapping week four of Big Brother All-Stars. And I forgot just how freaking awesome that season is. And I really miss all of those people. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure you do. All right, Melissa, you got another pick.
My next pick, I'm deciding between two people, but I think I'm just going to have to pick this person because earlier I wrote this person higher in my list, which, by the way, Devin's on my other draft. So I just had to
On the site you think you can podcast draft?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So my next pick is Desi.
God, isn't she beautiful?
Yeah. Oh, she's super pretty. But I was nervous about her at first because I felt like everyone had fallen in love with her and she was like everybody's favorite and their pick to win. And then all of a sudden, like, I feel like in the past it's been all of a sudden that person like goes out first or goes out second or whatever, like the gamer girl last season that everyone was like in love with and they were like, she's gonna win, and then she was like first out or something. So I was super nervous about her, but I feel like she's flown under the radar up until this point in all these previous episodes. And I think that hopefully she can kind of continue that trend and just like make her way to the end. I think she's super smart. I think she's very athletic. I think that she's very easy to get along with and social. And so I feel like all of these things will come together, especially because she doesn't really seem that much of a threat. I feel like she's not – I feel like the super physical guys are more of a are seen as more of a threat than a super physical girl. So I think that she has a good chance of just flying under the radar. At least that's what I'm hoping. And so she's my pick.
Yeah, I've liked her ever since I saw on the original cast assessment with Corinne that she had picked Tasha as the person that she's most like, which I can't ever remember anybody ever picking Tasha from season 28. The thing about Desi is I don't know a lot about her. I mean, I know she's a beauty queen and she's in a lot of pageants. And, you know, obviously I think very highly of people like that because they are competitive as you know what. And you have to be able to present yourself in a certain way within the lines of what's being expected of you. And I feel like there are certain characteristics or qualities that you can carry over to a jury in a final two or final three scenario on Survivor. Having said that, this falls into the Devin category as far as what Taryn's concerned about, because I just haven't seen much of her. I know that the healers haven't gone to tribal council yet, but I barely know who this chick is. In fact, that's pretty much true for every female on the healers tribe.
Just found out she's a virgin.
Thrilling storyline.
Sizzling. Yeah. Okay. Let's wait till we get to Jessica to throw shade at her. But
yeah, I think that the Desi is a risky pick because she seems so impressive in the preseason, but we've basically seen nothing from her yet. Excludes her. I don't think it's like the thing that worries me about Devin is that like we've been to two tribal councils with the hustlers and still we've barely gotten anything from Devin, which I don't think necessarily excludes him either. But I think that it's just like we don't know any more information about Desi than what we found out preseason. So right. When we know a lot more about some of the other people, it's like, I feel like at least these people have maybe proven themselves a little bit. Desi, I have no idea what Desi's doing. I have no idea what's happening. I have no idea what's happening on the Steelers tribe. Like, who is Desi aligned with? Is it Rourke? I have no idea. Is she in a girls thing? Probably not, because Jessica didn't like Cole talking to the girls. Is she clearly not aligned with Mike because they're going to vote Mike out? Is she aligned with Joe? Probably not, because they were willing to vote Joe out. So is she just with Rourke? I don't even know, because I've seen nothing from her. I really don't know what's happening with her. Maybe she's the second to go after Mike. Who knows? I think that she was very impressive in the preseason. I think that she has a lot of potential, but I just know nothing about her so far. Brent, you've got the next pick.
I'm vacillating. I know this is usually what Melissa does, but I'm like, I have two people who I really, really like in the spot. And for two very different reasons. One of them I think is going to be very long for the game, but I don't know if they can win. And the other person I think can certainly win, but I don't know if they're very long for the game. So I'm going to pick the person. Oh, God. Oh, that goes again. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. I don't want to give away what I'm thinking if I don't pick this person. So that's sort of why I'm frozen for a second. I'm going to bite the bullet and pick him, even though I don't really like him, which goes against everything I believe in. But I feel like I have to do it because I have my reasons for it. I'm picking Joe, or as my dad calls him, Tony. my dad barely watches Survivor, and he's like, my mom said something about, oh, he's the guy who looks like Tony, but my dad's a little hard of hearing, and like he was talking about, he's like, oh yeah, I saw that Tony, he says he's on Survivor again. I'm like, Dad, no, it's not Tony, it's Joe. But there's good reason to think that he is Tony, because he's very Tony-esque in the way he talks about the game, in his ability to find idols. And by the way, I do use the term idols specifically as in plural, because girl, I got problems. Here's my problem with Joe. I don't really like Joe, but they're going into a swap. And as of now, only one of the idols has been found. And the idols are specifically marked this season as far as how they're marked on the trees, painted on the trees. And two, I'm guessing they're all basically buried in the same place, which is, you know, 5 feet away from the well in the direction of the ocean. Joe and Cole are the only two people who are aware of this. If Joe ends up on it, and I don't know if they're switching to three tribes or two tribes, but if Joe goes anywhere but Healer's Beach, he's going to quickly be able to find another idol. And if you give someone like that two idols in the game, I really don't see him being eliminated from the game anytime soon. And that is a lot of power to have. So, and I it says here, like, I'm calling it and I don't know anything. This is just speculation on Brent's part. Joe's going to get another idol. I swear, unless he ends right back up on Healer's Beach, he's going to get another idol. And it's going to be Tony 2.0 all over again. Taryn, what you got to say about that?
I think that's a really good point. I've sort of felt like he has to be a character. Like, he has to be a character this season. I feel like he's going to go far. Not necessarily that he's going to win, but I do think he's going to make it. But I've been just thinking, like, how does he? Like, he's completely alienated his own tribe to the point where they were probably going to vote him out this week or this episode if they hadn't won that immunity. If he goes into a swap, sure, he has an idol, but he's absolutely the kind of person that you might vote out of a swapped tribe if he doesn't have the numbers. And even if he does have the numbers, they're not particularly loyal to him. So where does he find the numbers? But I think if he gets another idol, I could see that as how he makes it further in the game. And that would be right. Very exciting to watch. And I'm excited at the prospect of it. So I'm in on this theory, actually. I feel like this could be how Joe becomes somebody who makes it to the merge and makes some kind of run at the end game. But I do have a hard time seeing him winning. Tony was just, he was lightning in a bottle, you know? And I don't know if anyone can be that character. And
let me ask this. I'll ask you, Taryn. Is there room for Tony? Or sorry, I did it again. I called him Tony. Is there room for Joe to be the new Joe and not the old Tony? That's what I'm asking.
I don't know, because so far he's been very Tony-like. He not only looks like him, but he's acted like him. He's searching for idols. He's finding them. He's being like, he's making mistakes that seem like mistakes, but might turn out to be kind of not bad. And it's very Tony-like. And he has to do something that's different. And so far he has just followed in that mold. And it's hard to imagine him breaking out of it anytime soon. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, I was really surprised that he found the idol originally. But I feel like he's just not doing so well with his tribe. And I guess it depends, like, if he switches up to a totally new tribe and, like, kind of tries a new tactic. Because I really didn't like his confrontation with Mike and all that sort of stuff. And it kind of makes me think that he would do that sort of stuff again, because I don't feel like that's just like a fluke. I feel like that's who he is and that's his personality. So I think that he could have confrontations with people and make people feel a certain way about him. And I feel like he's going to have a struggle in terms of the social aspect of the game. But if he keeps finding these idols and he keeps, you know, or if he wins challenges or whatever, then I think he could stay a lot longer. And if he's with a tribe who is very different from his previous tribe, maybe he'll bond with them and maybe it'll work out. So who knows?
All right. I believe I have the next pick. I have the next two picks.
Uh-huh.
All right. There's maybe like three people I want to pick here. And one of them's hard to pick, but I think first I'll go with Jessica. I liked Jessica a lot preseason. She's a fan of the show. She is very personable. I think that she has a lot of ability to do well. And so far we've been seeing a decent amount of her. I like that she was the person that was like, whoa, Cole, what are you doing? This is not how you do things. Mm-hmm. You wait until after the challenge because now he might find out. I like that she is the person that is recognizing that. So I like her chances. I like that it's hard to see her being the person voted out in a swap. I think she's good. She's physical enough in challenges, but again, she fits that sweet spot where she's good at challenges, but she's also not going to be standing out by any means. At least I don't think so. So I like Jessica's position. Brent, how do you feel about Jessica?
So this is my thing. Okay. I watched Jessica for the first 20 minutes on this past episode, and then I saw Cole having a conversation with who I thought to be Jessica. Again, this plays into the whole is it Ryan or is it not Ryan, is it the Melissa bot or is it not the Melissa bot. I thought that he was having a conversation with Jessica. Turns out it wasn't Jessica. I don't even know who this other chick was, but it wasn't Jessica. I've never seen her on the show before. I don't know how she made it onto the island. Rourke, I don't know who the hell you are. I've never seen you. Oh, my God. But as far as Jessica goes, I mean, I like it that – I agree with you, Taryn, that I like it that she pointed out what she did. But I think that was fairly obvious. Like, I mean, even the worst Survivor player, I feel like, could say to the producers, the fact that my ride or die just gave up information that I thought was exclusive to us to a big group of people wasn't necessarily the best call. So I'm not going to give her a lot of credit there. She does seem very sweet. I worry that she doesn't have the killer instinct, and she does seem very smitten with Cole to, like, you know, everything great that I said about Ashley willing to cut bait, I don't think is necessarily true of Jessica insofar as Cole goes. So, but her problems might be taken care of for her if Cole is eliminated. So I feel like I'm a little bit middle of the road with Jessica.
Yeah, I like Jessica a lot. I liked her a lot preseason. I loved her interviews. I thought she was really personable and sweet, but also funny and very bubbly, and but not in an annoying way. And I thought that she was athletic. And, you know, I still think those things, but I think that Cole is going to be her downfall. Because I think Cole is kind of a dum-dum when it comes to strategy and really much of anything, unfortunately, as nice and sweet of a guy as he seems to be. He just, like, is making these mistakes, like, first with the helping Joe find the idol, and then with the, you know, with revealing that Joe has an idol. It's like knowledge is power in this game, and you're, like, just giving it out for free, which is insane to me. So, yeah, I think that Cole's going to be a problem for her. But at the same time, it's possible that Cole's just going to be a meat shield for her. And that'll help her down the line and get her further. Because once he's gone, they'll be like, yeah, yeah, let's just keep Jessica along. And so, you know, I do think that she could go pretty far. And I think that, you know, without Cole, the only problem is I think she's really smitten with Cole. And I don't know if she would be willing to just be like drop him like a hot potato if he starts doing a bunch of, you know, stupid stuff. So it could go either way with her, but I do really like her a lot. And she was up in my list. So yeah, I like the pick.
All right, Taryn, you have another selection coming.
Yep. This is a tough one, but I have a feeling about this person. I feel like she is absolutely not the kind of person I would normally pick as a winner of Survivor, but I just, okay. I actually came to like her over the course of editing First One Out. And I thought, you know, I like her, but I don't think she's going to do particularly well. And then seeing her in these first three episodes, I'm not too upset with what Lauren is doing on that Hustler Tribe. You know, she is she is coming from an entirely different world than the rest of the people on that tribe. She is older than them. She's a fisher person, or whatever. I don't know.
A fisherman. You can call her a fisherman. Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't think it's a fisherman. I think it's like something else. I don't remember.
Okay. I'm reading her CBS bio. Occupation: fisherman. That's what it
is. She did say fisherman during the interview. Said fisherman. So.
I thought it was like a fancier term than that. But yes, I like what she's doing. I think that she comes across sympathetic, and I can see her being somebody that, like, once she hits the merge, she is not going anywhere for a long time. And I think that she's somebody, if people underestimate her, they give her a chance to, like, really give some impassioned plea at the final tribal council. Maybe we see a crazy Lauren win. So I'm going to go with Lauren here. And I think she's got a shot. And it's crazy that I'm saying that.
I just don't see her winning at all. And I do see her, like, lasting a long time, especially if she makes it through the merge. I could totally see that, because, you know, she's unassuming. People, like, kind of forget about her. But I really don't see her winning. And I felt like a lot of people were saying that she was so awesome this past episode. And I just, like, didn't really see it. I was like, okay, the whole time I think she's about to go home. And then she doesn't go home. And it's like, oh, well, I guess she didn't go home. But I wasn't like, whoa, she did a great job saving herself. I don't know. I'm not too impressed with her. I mean, I'm not totally, you know, hating her or disliking anything she's doing. I just don't think she's, like, very she's doing a lot of anything, really. I guess she is, because she saved herself, so she must have done something. But I don't know. She's my last pick. She's my last on the list. But, you know, crazier things have happened.
Was she your last pick too, Brent?
No. I don't know quite what to think about Lauren. This is me and again in my speculation. FYI, if you're someone who doesn't like speculation based on what contestants have said during exit interviews, you might want to cover your ears for like the next 15 seconds. But Patrick in his exit interview said three different times in a way that was very obvious to me, to Josh Wigler, let me just say again, Lauren should have been the one to go home. Lauren should have been the one to go home, which leads me to believe that she's going to be some problem for some people on the Hustlers tribe who decided to keep her this week. And I think that she's going to be in the game for a long time. So I would not have picked her, because I do think that in order to get there, she's going to have to betray some people. And given who she is, an older mom and that sort of archetype. And I know here's the thing. I don't see her and Chrissy as the same person. Chrissy to me seems a little younger, a little sunnier. I feel like she can get away with more stuff than can Lauren. Lauren to me seems a little bit older, a little bit more long in the tooth. And I feel like she's going to be held a little bit more accountable if she gets to the end. I don't think she can win a jury vote, Taryn. So that's why I would not have picked her. I'm always going to pick the person who can win a jury vote over the person who's going to, you know, stay in the game longer. And I know I picked Joe, but I do think that Joe can win a jury vote. Just a couple things have to break his way. So I'm just very nervous about her betraying people and what that looks like going forward.
Yeah, I think that there's a very good chance that she makes it to the final three. I think that there's a long shot that she has to win the game. Again, if we want to talk about things that we've heard in interviews and such, skip forward 30 seconds quickly. But Jeff talked about how this is going to be a very close final tribal council. So if there's any kind of situation where somebody like Lauren can win, I feel like it's like, oh man, she managed to squeeze out like
four to three.
Yeah, something like that. I could see her as like a Susie from Survivor Gabon. You know, it's where
hush your mouth.
It's big Susie fan, huh? I think that like Susie came out of nowhere to almost win that game. So it's like, I feel like that could be where we're headed for Lauren with Lauren. I don't think it's particularly likely, but, I don't think it's, I think it's even less likely with some of the other people on this board.
Question,
so.
And also,
go ahead.
I just was going to say, I also did not like her redhead comment, because my brother's a redhead and I was a little offended by that comment.
People are calling me anti-Jinjai in the chat for supporting an anti-Jinjai. Let me just be very clear on the record. I love redheads. I have nothing against redheads. Redheads are great.
Okay.
I'm not anti-Jinjai.
Yeah.
I had to put her last because like that comment also kind of like made me like a little.
Oh my God. Like that was like between that comment and the Patrick comment of I trust almost everybody here. I've never seen two more overblown comments in my life. Like seriously, come on. Like,
yeah, the I trust everybody here was like, why does that? Okay, first of all, like why should you trust everybody here?
Right? You
like,
shouldn't.
Especially if one person's going home and you don't think it's you. Why should you trust everybody in the tribe? It was really weird that Jeff like called it out and was like, whoa, everyone stop everything.
Really?
You don't trust everybody. He's like, of course he doesn't trust everybody.
They're literally about to vote one of them out.
Why? Yeah. So why? Like that would be ridiculous if you trusted every single person and then voted someone out. Like it just doesn't make any sense. I felt like that was so weird. And they were trying to make it some poignant moment. Like, oh my God, everyone. Did you hear what he just said? It's like, why?
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And then, what I was going to say was my question about Lauren, and then maybe the chat room could answer this for me. Is she a friend of Dorothy? Like, I mean, because she's got the haircut and she plays softball and she's a fisherman. So I'm thinking she is on my side of the fence of things. But on the other hand, you just never know with people. So I've been fooled before, especially women always fool me. So Lauren, if you're out there, let me know if you're a member of my community or not. And by community, I do mean people who are not fans of Taryn Armstrong. So
this whole time he's building up to that.
Yeah, I know, right? I guess Dorothy hates me.
She does. I know. I've talked to her.
All right, Brent's pick.
Yeah. I have a pick. Boy, I can't believe this person is still on the board. I mean, it's like, do I want to pick the people who I know nothing about and have nothing to say about, or do I want to pick the people who are just like the Joshes and the Joses of the world?
Pick worked out for you last time.
I know. I guess I'm gonna have to pick him. And if he actually won the game, I feel like he'd give all the money away anyway because he's totally rich and loaded. So I'll pick you, Cole. Cole, come back to daddy. I agree with what Melissa said earlier. He is a bit of a dum-dum. I mean, just between two episodes to make two ghastly errors in terms of handing someone the information to find the idol, which I could excuse as, you know, he got a little excited. He wanted it, you know, he instantly realized what it was and just blurted it out. It was like word vomit. It just came out. I get that. But the second thing he did about telling Jessica, which I liked, but then without a tribal council on the horizon, then choosing to go to everybody else again, I'm sure you're asking me, well, why are you picking this guy? Well, because everyone else sucks. That's the reason why I'm picking Cole. But I certainly feel like Cole could win a jury vote if he got to the end. The God's honest truth is it's going to be really hard for him to get there. You don't look like Cole Metters and get to the end of Survivor. I mean, you just don't. I feel like he's probably going to get voted off. But again, high risk, high reward pick. If you get to him with the right people, a lot of these women really seem to like him. If I was out on the island, I'd probably like him. So, you know, yes, Cole, I'll vote with you. So I think if he gets into that sort of a scenario in a swap and takes that sort of group of people over to emerge, I feel like he could do okay. On the other hand, even that won't sustain him because I do feel like that Survivor has been merging earlier and earlier lately. And I could see them merging at 13. I mean, I could see them merging at 13 with a final three and a jury of 10. So I feel like the longer that they stay in tribes, the more Cole will be safe. But the quicker they get to emerge, the more he's likely to go out. Melissa, what you got to say about Cole?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good strategic, or I mean, a good physical threat.
Yeah, I was going to be like, what?
Yeah, no, not good strategic, sorry. Good physical threat. And then I also think that if him and Jessica can either, you know, stay together, I feel like she's got a good strategic head on her shoulders, and I feel like the two of them can kind of go pretty far as long as they don't get a huge target on their back for being a pair. But I also feel like he's good socially. People tend to like him. He's cute, and so people will immediately be drawn to him. But I think that these mistakes that he's making, which I don't think he realizes are mistakes, I feel like the main concern is that he doesn't realize they're mistakes. Like, it's not like, oh no, I shouldn't have said that. It's like, yeah, and then I said that to him. It's like he's like thinks that it's the right move, and it's just not. So the fact that he doesn't realize that he's like doing these, like making these poor decisions, kind of concerns me moving forward. But I could totally see him going really far in the game. So, but also I could see him getting kicked out early because of Emerge, and he's like a very like strong guy. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's
I saw him on Instagram today doing like cliffhangers where he's like hanging off of a board with one arm and then he's lifting 40-pound dumbbells with the other. God. It was actually really impressive, Taryn. Can you do that?
He's been tweeting about American Ninja Warrior, so maybe I'll be talking about him even more.
I can see that.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, he really feels like another kind of Joe Anglim type guy, where initially he's going to do well because people will gravitate toward him. He's very social. He's very charismatic. He's going to be doing really well for the tribe in challenges. But the second he has to like actually be strategic and he can't just glide through with his good looks and his charm, I think that's where he's going to start to falter. I just don't see the strategic chops in him to be able to make it to the end of the game all the way through the long merge stage. So it's really hard to see him winning this thing.
All right. I have picked Cole, and we are down to four people left. Just to recap quickly, we have Rourke left on the board. We have Alan left. We have JP left, and we have Mike left. And Melissa, you get the next two picks. So two out of those four people, you're picking. Who are you going to pick with the first of your two next picks?
My first pick is going to be Rourke.
Right.
I'm really surprised she's still on the board because I like her a lot. I loved her preseason interviews. And I think that she's super intelligent, super strategic. She knows the game. I was very impressed with her and I like her a lot. I think that what concerned me a little bit, I guess, is maybe overplaying because she had all these strategies in her mind for like if it's a rock draw or something, like if there's a tie or something. I don't remember the exact scenario, but you know, she had all these like crazy things already planning in her mind, and I could see potentially her coming out and just being like, okay, so if you do this and you do this, and kind of trying to over strategize and over control things, which makes me a little nervous. But at the same time, I think she's good socially, so I could see her trying to hide that side of her more and trying to pretend that other people are making the decisions. I mean, she's hung back at this point so much so that people don't even realize she's on the show yet. So
I really don't.
Yeah, Brent doesn't. And Brent actually watches all the stuff. So yeah, no, I think that she's got a good chance, especially if she can make it down to the end. Because I think she's really well-spoken and I like her a lot.
Go ahead.
Rourke was the other person that I wanted on the draft, and I had to decide between, I feel like Lauren, I had her like slightly above Rourke in terms of chances, but I felt like Lauren might come back to me. It would be more likely to come back to me. I ultimately went with Lauren, but I did want Rourke on my team. The only really, it's sort of like Desi, where it's just like, I think that she can be good at this game. I think she can make a good run, but I have seen nothing from her yet. So I have no idea. And that unknown, I think, is a good bit better than a few of the people left and maybe even a few of the people chosen already. You know, it's still unknown. So I went with Lauren, but I think Rourke is a good pick. I think that she is somebody who absolutely could emerge as soon as the swap happens. All of a sudden Rourke gets power and now she's a narrator of the season. And I think that she is smart. She's a fan of the show. I think that she doesn't seem particularly threatening. She even doesn't really seem like the, even though you might want to put her in the Aubrey, you know, Hannah kind of mold, I don't think she looks it. So I don't think she's going to necessarily be pegged there quite as easily as maybe like Ryan would be pegged as like an Adam. So I like where she stands in that respect. I like that she's a fan. I like that she's knowledgeable. I think that she has a lot of upside. I just haven't seen anything from her yet. That's my only issue with her.
Yeah, this is the person, like I said, who was talking with Cole, and I thought she was Jessica, and then I realized she wasn't Jessica, and I was like, who are you? Like, I really don't know anything about you. And I feel
she looks very different with her hair up than she does in preseason interviews with her hair down.
That was interesting. So like when Josh was interviewing them, he was showing them pictures of their fellow castmates because they hadn't been able to speak to them yet. So many people they didn't know who Rourke was. They were like, who's that girl? Simone in particular, I think, was like, they had to skip her and come back. She could not recognize who this person was. And Josh had to be like, oh, I think she had her hair up or down in like a different photo. And like, you might know her as this. It, like, she just looks very different depending on like what her hair is doing.
It's very strange to me. Like I saw her in one of the challenges and she was like standing on the dock or whatever. And I was like, who is that? I was like, is that Jessica? Like, I could not recognize her.
There's a book, The Lies of Locke Lamora. I'm a total fantasy nerd, but like he's like a con man. And like the whole point is that he looks incredibly unassuming. Like you just forget his face as soon as you like look away. I feel like that is Rourke. She is Locke Lamora. Like she's just like, she's just so unrecognizable every time.
I
feel like I'm being mean to her. I think she's very pretty actually, but like,
no, I really like her a lot, but
it's so different.
It's very different. It's not like a bad way or a good way or anything like that. It's just that like it takes me a second to be like, oh, that's Rourke.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that we've seen nothing.
I feel like I recognize her, but, you know,
it doesn't help that we've seen nothing from her.
This is my own Brent speculation again. I'm totally pulling it out of my butt. I have no further knowledge of this show. Given the fact that she's such a fan of the show and she has so many great things to say, and yet we've seen basically nothing of her, I am worried that she's going to get swap fucked. I think that the swap coming up might really do her in. And I do worry about what Taryn said about the fact that, you know, Melissa said about the fact that she's jonesing to play. Again, she has not had a chance to go to a tribal council yet. And, you know, Steven has talked about the fact that Fishback, I'm talking about, how that energy gets built up and you have to let it out. And she hasn't had a chance to let it out. So she's been on a tribe this entire time. All of these people have on the Healers tribe. They've never had a chance to go to a tribal council. Now they're going to be swapped to a new tribe with new people and new dynamics and have to rebuild that without ever having gone to tribal council in the first place. I feel like there might be a chance of her overgaming a little bit. And that's just, you know, again, pulling it out of nowhere, because I'm looking at her going, well, she has all these positive things and I love her bio and I loved her preseason. And yet we haven't seen her. And I'm like, well, it's one of two things. Either it's very like Michelle-esque in that, you know, there's a lot of more gold to be mined from her that we'll see later on. Or something tragic happens to her and we never hear from her again. And I'm hoping it's not the latter, but I'm worried that it might be.
Yes. So,
Melissa, you have another pick.
And okay, so we're down to JP, to Mike, man. And Alan.
Yes, yeah, I know. Three winners here. Melissa, let me help you out. Which of these three men can win the game? Who can win a jury vote? That's who you should pick. So which one of these three can win?
Why
a jury
are you
vote?
Helping her, Brent?
Well, I'm trying to help her. I don't want you to win.
At this point, it's like I feel like I already have like a really strong, solid team of like unassuming, like background players who like could come out of the woodwork. Like all of them could come out of the woodwork at one point or another. But so I'm gonna like go for something very different, I think.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Very different.
And just like pick a wild pick. Okay. And my wild pick, which is not what I was planning on doing. This person is not high up in my list. This person is way down almost to the bottom of my list, but I'm going to pick them anyway.
You know, by the way, you're the queen of prefacing. I just want you to know that.
I have very long, drawn-out prefaces.
Oh, my God. Get to the sentence, woman.
This is not me anymore.
And my pick is Alan.
Yes, I knew you were going. Once you gave me that preface, I was like, I know.
Yeah, I feel like I want the build-up. I want people to start realizing what's going on. I really loved him preseason. I loved him a lot preseason. I was like, this guy, he's so fun, so funny. Like, what a great guy. He's going to get along with everyone. He's very easy to talk to. And then all of a sudden, the first episode hits, and we're all like, what the heck is going on? This guy is insane. And I have a feeling that since we really haven't heard much from him since then, except for, like, him hitting the coconut a bunch of times and like a really long segment on that, I have a feeling that he might, depending on this swap, might just like fall back into the woodwork and eventually come to surprise us and become a great player and potentially win the game. Like, I could see it. It just reminds me of Josh.
Fiction.
Look at Josh. Okay. Josh in the first episode was like running around, grabbing the apple, like picking fights with Megan. Like, he was wild and crazy. And we were like, this guy is out next week. There is no way this guy's like lasting throughout. And then all of a sudden, look who's the winner. So we could have two Josh Martinez seasons right in a row. And
Eight ball.
Okay.
We're getting yes, queen. Melissa's not crazy. She's confident.
She just won the draft.
Melissa always has the fan favorite draft team. That's all I'm going to say.
If there's any bitterness coming from me, it's the fact that I was going to pick Alan if he was still there. So, yeah. I mean, in fact, I'm kind of a little bitter that I didn't pick him already. So, yeah, that's okay. I could have picked him when I picked Cole, but...
Well, he was my 14th pick. So, okay. Like, he literally is 14th on my list. And then, like, last minute, I was like, I'm just gonna do it.
I feel like he has more upside. I really do. I feel like he can win a jury vote. And that's what I was getting at when I was asking you that question. Because I don't feel like the other two can. So I don't even know who I'm going to pick with my pick. But I feel like that Alan is the last of the three who can win a jury vote in a final three scenario. If it was Final Two, it might be different. And for all I know, it could be Final Two. I have no knowledge of this season. It could be Final Two. But I assume it's Final Three. And I feel like that Allen can win and they can't. And so that's the reason for that I would support the pick. Taryn, what you got to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, Allen was an interesting case because he was like the guy that everybody was so high on. And I was too, because when I listened to the interviews, I listened to them before finding out who. I intentionally listened to the interviews first and then found out who the first boot was and then what transpired at that tribal council. And I was also surprised that Allen had done a complete heel turn. But it was funny, like, sitting here and like watching everyone's reaction to Allen, knowing like he's going to be a crazy like person in that tribal council. But I do think that like there may have been a method to that madness. And we sort of saw it in First One Out as well, where he talked about like how he did want to just like make things up and just like call people out and then, oh, it's my word versus yours. And you kind of see the logic behind what he's doing. And we're also seeing that it's kind of working, that that Ashley and JP are like, maybe we shouldn't talk too much because we don't want to get called out by Allen. And I do think the fact that he has survived now to the tribe swap means that he has another opportunity to fit in with some other group. Either he has the numbers as the heroes, or he is maybe the person that flips to the other side and gets some numbers elsewhere. And I think that that's not a bad place to be. Really, the only issue is that so far, all that we've really seen from him is the guy that made JP strip down naked. So it's a little hard to pick him, but he was one of three people. So I think probably a good pick at that point.
Oh boy, gosh, now I have to pick between freaking Mike and JP with my final pick. I dogged on him at the beginning of the podcast, but I kind of feel like I'm going to select, oh boy, I'm gonna select, you know what, I'm
gonna select like that.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to select Dr. Mike. I feel like I have to select Dr. Mike. I liked what he had to say in the first episode about what doing what his kids told him to do. He seems like he's a real fan of the show. Again, I don't really see a scenario that he can win a jury vote, especially when they already know he's an MD. But he's going to have two real goats with him in order to get that. But he is likable, and he is he can be sweet. And if he doesn't come off as too schemey, he might be able to make it to the merge. And if he does, then I don't see him being voted off anytime soon. So that's something positive for him. The bigger issue to me is that I don't feel like, and we can talk about both these together if you want. I don't feel like the JP could ever win in Final Three. And I don't know what gives me reason to be able to say that. But I just, and I don't know if you guys are with me on this, and I mean no disrespect to JP and his family, but he's so flipping vacant when you like listen to him and talk to him. I just don't see a lot there, and I don't see any way he could win. Taryn, do you agree with that assessment, or do you think I'm being too harsh?
I agree with it. I mean, okay. I think
no, you have to disagree with it because he's on your team.
I think
support your pick, Taryn.
I mean, you know, there's things like that that happen, and sometimes we'll see what happens when he comes on my team. It's just like there are some people like an Eddie Fox where it's like, you know, maybe with his dog bar proposal, he can win a final tribal council vote. But and while I do think there is something lovable about JP that maybe we've yet to see, because sort of like an Eddie, but it's just so hard to see him both getting there and then winning a vote. It's like Cole has the issue that like he will have a very hard time getting to the final tribal council. But if he gets there, he'll win. Like he will probably win. JP has almost as much trouble getting to the final tribal council as Cole, I think. And even if he does get there, I think he has a hard time winning. And that's a really tough spot to be in. The idea of JP giving a final tribal council speech, talking about his accomplishments of stripping down and things like that, it doesn't seem particularly likely to me. So, sorry, JP. I think that there's something there. You know, his sister has some medical issues that he really wants to help her out with. He wants, like, he's, I think he's a good guy, but I think he's going to have a hard time conveying that even to the people that he's with. I just think that there's I think, Brent, you said it right. Like, there's a vapidness there that's just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I know. Melissa, you got anything to say about Mike or JP?
Well, okay. For JP, just from watching the episode so far, I would think this guy's a fine guy. I don't really know enough about him. I was glad that he was willing to strip down and to show that he doesn't have the idol and all this sort of stuff. But watching his preseason stuff is what kind of is turning me off from him, just because I felt like he couldn't articulate any sort of strategy. He didn't really seem like he had any sort of strategy going in, or that he like really, I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he's a great strategic mind in any way. So I don't see him. And that's when Brent was telling me like, oh, who do you see like winning at the end, winning in jury vote? And I was thinking to myself, like, I cannot imagine JP giving like an amazing speech that like rallies people and gets them to vote for him. Maybe Mike can, but I don't really know if I see him doing it either, but I could see Alan doing it because he is so, you know, he's very personable, and the way he was speaking during all of his preseason interviews made me like totally love him. So I think that those two are going to struggle, and especially because Mike is already having problems with Joe and all that. And JP is already having problems with Alan. And like, so I just felt like those two were kind of iffy in terms of.
Yeah. Winning. I mean, with Mike, I love Mike. I thought Mike was hilarious in his preseason interviews. I think that he's a funny guy. I think he's a well-spoken guy. But he's clearly not fit in with this tribe, and that doesn't bode well for him. Mike himself said, I think I could very well be the first one out. And if I'm not, then I think I have a good chance of making it all the way to the end. But he was in a position where he was the first one out of his tribe for at least two episodes from what we saw. He may have escaped that if the healers had gone to a tribal, but not due to anything that he did. That was because of Cole. And so it's hard to say that he's done anything proactively good in the game so far. I do think that there is some chance that he is somebody that could go to a swap and have a whole fresh new start. Maybe he finds people that he can get along with, and he finds his little spot in the game. But man, we just haven't seen enough of him, and I don't think we've seen that he's had much agency in this game, and it's hard to see that changing anytime soon. That said, I still like Mike, and I still think that like of the three of these people, I would have said Mike has the best chance of winning the game. I think give him some kind of agency to cling on to and start working in the game, and I think that he can really turn it on and flip a switch. Sort of. I mean, we're probably going to be comparing him to David if that did happen, but I think he is that kind of character where it's like he seems pathetic, he seems completely down and out, but give him a little bit of power, and maybe he can start turning things around. So right. That's how I see Mike.
Annie in the chat says, Dr. Mike and Lauren super alliance. I think Lauren is the person who Dr. Mike actually might be able to get along with the best in the game. So that's we're on the same wavelength there, Annie. I think that the only thing positive I can say about JP is he's got a great ass. I mean, honestly, that's it. But beyond that, I don't see a lot there. And I want to see more there from him. But even when he is talking, it's sort of like it's like the Charlie Brown teacher with the, you know, wah, 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 wah. Like he doesn't seem very articulate. So here's hoping that changes. But anyway, so to recap, we have Melissa with these people on her team. She picked Allie with the first pick. Then she picked Devin, then Desi, then Rourke, and finally Alan. I have selected Chrissy with my first pick. Then I picked Ryan, Joe, Cole, and Dr. Mike. All very fun characters, I might add. Actually, there's no one on my team that it's boring. And then let's look at Terrence's team.
Nobody that's boring, you said.
All right. Taryn has Ashley. Then he selected Ben right after that. Then he picked Jessica, then Lauren, and finally he was stuck with JP, in who even he doesn't seem to have much confidence in. So that is how the team stands. I like my team. Taryn, what do you got to say?
They like their team, but I have the winning team, which is always the case.
Sure,
always
sure,
the
sure.
Case.
Oh, always the case except for last season. Yeah.
What's that?
I said it was very fun, podcast about Survivor with you guys.
I hope people enjoyed it. You know, if you want to hear more, just let us know. I mean, we're open to talking Survivor whenever the mood strikes us. So if people want to hear it, we'll be here. We can talk about it.
I think we should come back at the merge. That's when I think we should come back.
I mean, yeah, whatever people are looking. If people want to hear us more often, they can hear us more often. If they want to wait until the merge, wait till the merge. It's fine too. but yes, we will definitely be talking about our draft as we go along the way. We need to come up with names for our teams, of course, so we can do some hashtags. People can tweet at the hashtags to support their team of choice. Hopefully I get the least amount of tweets, because that's how it's happened every time I've won. So just make sure you hate on my team.
I think that's par for the course there. Whatever,
but yes, this was a lot of fun. I'm cautiously optimistic about this season. Like I said, there's a little bit of like dullness based on my experience with Australian Survivor. But I think that the more time passes behind with Survivor Australia behind us, we can move forward into the present of Healers.
Australian Survivor has really spoiled you, hasn't it?
It has. That's the problem. I need it gone from my life so I can be back into like, this is a different thing. It's different. I'm looking forward to seeing, again, I really like the characters on this season. Like even the people I don't think have a good chance of winning, I'm still like happy to watch them. Even JP, who is just like so bland, I think he's funny to watch because there's like a things like that count. He's dropping trow left and right. We're talking about his junk. Like,
I think his blandness is funny. If that makes
it's, sense. It's very, Cody from Big Brother 19, where it's just like, he's so bland that it's become a thing within itself. And, that's pretty good. I've been very happy with the season so far. I'm looking forward to continuing it, maybe talking more about it. I try to tweet more, but so far this season I've just been like enjoying the show. Usually I tweet more, but
by the way, I agreed with what Rob had to say about the fact that I was glad to see Patrick voted off, so I didn't have to hear like, you know, 10,000 voicemails about how unfair Survivor is and how Allie and Patrick have it so good because they knew each other and that's why he survived and that's why Lauren never had a chance and blah 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 blah. So you know, yeah, I'm glad that whole barrel of monkeys, whatever, is gone.
Do we want to try and make a wild prediction as to who might be the swap boot here? Because I talked about a lot of people I felt like they probably wouldn't be a swap boot. So I'm interested to see what you guys think. Like, who do you think is gonna
get
the front end of this? Rourke?
I say Rourke, and I have a feeling about that one, but I have no inside knowledge. So I keep saying that, and I only say that because if I actually turn out to be right, I don't want people to think that I spoiled it. If I actually knew anything, I would never tell you guys. So if Rourke goes, God love her, but I sense danger for some reason for her. What do you think, Melissa?
Well, since you chose someone on my team, I'm going to choose someone on your team.
Oh, no.
I think that going into it, Joe had a lot of problems. And I think that if he ends up on a team with Mike, he might still have problems because Mike had like trouble with him. And then if he ends up on a team with Cole, I could see them having trouble. And so I feel like Joe has like some enemies potentially. And also, even if he ends up on a team with Jessica, then she could be like, hey, he has the idol.
Right. Everybody knows he has the idol.
So
right.
Like, yeah. I feel like he could end up having some problems.
That's not a bad pick, actually.
So, but, you know.
But on the other hand, if he gets to a different beach, like I said, he may be able to find an idol. And I know he's the kind of paranoid, crazy person that if he feels any sort of uneasiness whatsoever, especially if he has two idols, I think he'll definitely play one. Taryn, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it seems likely that it's going to come from the Healers tribe, even though they're more likely to have the numbers in any given tribe since they have the most amount of people on their tribe. I think that there's so many cracks there, and they made a point to show us these cracks right before the swap. I think they're going to come into play. Maybe it's a misdirection. Maybe it's like, oh, they have the numbers and we needed to like give you some sort of reason to believe maybe it wouldn't happen, that they would just vote straight Healer tribe. But I think it's probably going to be a case of like, we saw Cole versus Joe, like they were going to come to a head and then they didn't. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a swap and they come to a head, or maybe we have to wait until the merge to see that payoff. But right now that seems the most likely sort of thing. Like it's going to be Cole or it's going to be Joe. So that's probably where I see that. Do we have any names yet for the teams?
Yes, mine is Team Character Arc.
Okay.
I kind of want to stick with my team name from last time, which was Team Frankenstein.
It worked so well last time.
Hey, it did. In my own mind.
I'll be the winning
team. And you have to change your name because you can't be still Team Undefeated.
Well, I was going to say Team Still Mostly Undefeated, but...
yeah, good luck with that.
I'll just be... I'm the winning team. That's my name.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Because I'm going to win. I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but like... The fans, they really wanted to see me lose. I give what the fans want. I give them what they want. I'm a man of the people.
They want to see you win.
They wanted to see me lose, so I gave it to Brent very graciously, and now I'm back to take the victory. I am now the underdog yet again, and people can root for me. I'm clearly the hero in this story, right, Brent?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just listening. Yeah. I'm like waiting for the period at the end of the sentence.
yeah. You know, you are the quickest person to call out somebody who's like having a run-on sentence, but you are the person that is most guilty of it, of any of us. So
I think gosh. I am not gonna like lie. I really think that I never stop talking. I just have a lot of ands.
There were so many people who listened to our Josh podcast that were like, are Rob and Taryn on this podcast? Because I've heard more Brent than even Josh.
Let's just say that I think that's fair criticism. I had a lot of questions that the fans wanted answered about Josh, and I'm a Josh fan. And, you know, if it had been like the Paul podcast and I was somehow hornswoggled after it, I would not have been at the forefront. So there was specific questions I wanted to get to the bottom of with Josh, and we got a lot of great feedback from that interview. So
yes, it was good.
You know,
if you hadn't been asking good questions, I would have like just completely shut you down.
Like I'm thinking like you were okay with it because you were like never like the like you didn't really care what Josh has to say for the most part, did you? Or did you?
Oh, you just have to be like, oh, like Brent, I think your mic is cutting out. I think
you're sounding like a robot right now. I think you.
And then when he signs up, just somehow like block him from coming back.
Oh man. All right. So tweet at us if you want to express support or negativity toward our team.
By the way, really quickly, the other thing, just FYI about that interview, talk about run-on sentences, honey. Josh, can you find the period? I mean, he could not get to the end of a sentence. I mean, I literally had to interrupt him every time I wanted to talk because he's one of these people that he can't stop talking. Like it's a nervous tick. Like he'll start answering your question and then he'll just keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. And before you know it, he's got like this entire paragraph and he's like, you can tell he's getting ready to start a new one. And you're like, hold up, girl. I got more questions for you. So that's what it was like interviewing Josh. Great interview.
Yeah, but very fun to watch.
Yes, I can definitely see that the diary room definitely needed to massage some of his answers because there's no way he was that concise on his own.
So if you want to support or express all the kinds of negativity you want toward our teams, you can tweet at us. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Melissa is at Melissa.
It's Melissa.
Three A's. Melissa with three A's. And Brent is at One Lucky Gay.
Yes, I'm at One Lucky. By the way, it's One Lucky Gay, one spelled out. I'm on One Lucky Gay on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. All platforms.
Yes, and Twitter also hates him. So keep that in mind.
Yes. By the way, really quickly, can I just? People are
find
fans
the
of us.
Period, Brent.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to let people know that Twitter hates me, and you're not going to get notifications. I'm not muting anybody. I'm not blocking anybody. Twitter just will not send notifications for me. I don't know what it is. That's usually why I quote somebody and retweet it because then you are notified. But if I just respond to you, you are not notified, and that's Twitter's fault.
I never know when you write to me.
I know.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, so tweet for in support for Brent's team with the hashtag character arc. Tweet in support of Melissa's team with the hashtag Frankenstein. And be the one person to tweet in support of my team, the winning team. And then you can look really smart when you say, yeah, I was rooting for the winning team, which just makes sense, guys. It just works.
Whatever, Taryn. You don't have a perfect track record anymore. You can't make those jokes.
It's near perfect. It's when the win percentage is still above whatever percent, like 7 out of 8 is, close enough.
I wasn't participating in all of those. So.
That's true.
And if you had beaten me your first try, then maybe we'd have something to say here. But it didn't happen.
I came very close all of the time. I'll just say that.
All right. Well, also, if you want us to talk more Survivor, just let us know. If there's enough people that want us to do it, we'll do it. We'll do it. And of course, check out the Taryn Show. I talked with Cameron Hurd from Big Brother 19. We talked about his experience on Big Brother. We talked about how he's actually been hospitalized probably more than Raven has. And we had a really good time. So
like recently or like
no, from just throughout his
point.
Life. He's okay, like, okay, okay. He's like gold medalist in injuries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, it was a lot of fun talking to Cameron. It was a shorter one. So, check that one out. And, there'll be another one coming on Tuesday, Monday night. So make sure you tune into the Taryn Show. There's also some great stuff heading your way on post show recaps. Mr. Robot has started its season 3 and, Josh Wiggler and Antonio Mazzara are going to be talking through Mr. Robot. That is a podcast you don't want to miss if you're watching that show, because it's a confusing show and you need people to help you through it. And Josh and Antonio are great at helping you through confusing shows, let me tell you. So check out that one. And of course, check out all of Rob's Survivor coverage. He just spoke with Patrick in the exit interview. He talked with Steven for the Know-It-Alls last night. And I believe he talked with Jay from Millennials versus Gen X for the episode recap. And that will be coming out very soon. So check that out. Check everything out. Go for it. Tweet at us. Do all the things. Comment on Rob has a website. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.